morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to offer you a bite-sized bit of magic. Our 20-minute-ish episodes are the perfect start to your day. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your pop of magic.
Good morning. It is January 6th, 2022. It is Thursday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Chiffon Duncan. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "Courage is the most important of all the virtues, because without courage, you can't practice any other virtue consistently." By Maya Angelou. So what are we drinking today? We are drinking midsummer tea. This tea has apple pieces, rose hips, hibiscus, lemon verbena, orange, dragon fruit, pineapple, strawberries, marigold, rose petals. It is definitely just like a taste of summer, which, sorry, I dropped my book, which I'm in need of, so, So moving into some headlines. Nope, not headlines. Do we have headlines? Oh, no, because I forgot our strawberry. So we're talking about strawberry today. This comes to us from thepracticalherbalist.com, and this is written by Candace Hunter, Strawberry History, Folklore, Myth, and Magic. So strawberry magic is the magic of dedication to fertility, reproduction primarily through runners. Strawberry gives of herself until the young plants are well established. She is capable of sustaining those young plants too, should the ground be immediately unsuitable for growth. I've seen young strawberry plants bear fruit while hanging from other plants in baskets or stretching across pavement. Strawberry teaches us the lesson of dedication to that which we long to produce no longer, no matter whether the conditions appear to be right. So I really like that. So yeah, the idea of making something happen no matter what. I think that's a really wonderful way that you can use strawberry within magic. All right, which is moving into some headlines. This comes to us from theguardian.com and was written by Jennifer Lane. "Healing Myself the Pagan Way, How Witchcraft Cast a Spell on Me." So Jennifer writes, "Witchcraft has always played a large role in my life. While many kids were learning about badminton or taking trombone lessons, I was reading up on spellcraft and ways to plant my herb garden. I grew up on the late 1990s when my cultural life became saturated with Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Charmed, and Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Channel hopping without stumbling across a young woman with magical powers was virtually impossible. But the draw wasn't just the empowerment that spells and telekinetic forces threw my way. I was intensely charmed by witchcraft's connection with the world outside of the earth around me." So I love this because I too was like really, my formative years were really drenched in witchcraft pop culture. That plus I had my, a great aunt who was very witchy, and so it just like I'm pretty sure she was Wiccan, but yeah, it was just this idea that witchcraft was empowering and wonderful. And so yeah, so this is a really great article if you want to read an essay about someone who kind of found themselves through witchcraft. This is a great read, and I will have a link to it for you in the podcast description. All right, witches, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent, and then after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Thursday, January 6th. The waxing crescent moon floats freely along the Pisces bliss today. Here, the moon continues to conjunct Jupiter and move into a square to Mars. We are fighting our want to do nothing with our need to do something. Mars has an uphill battle, with its ruler being in freewheeling Pisces. The best way to handle this energy would be to allow yourself periods of rest after short bursts of activity. Take a walk around the block, then sit and read a chapter of your favorite fantasy novel. Run a quick errand, and then watch an episode of The Witcher. There is time in your day for productivity and relaxation. You just have to be intentional about your use of time. Your daily moon mantra is, time is not refundable. Use it with intention. This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
This episode is brought to you by Chiffon Duncan Illustration. The artist behind the Witch Daily Oracle is now offering prints and cards at shifdraws.com/shop. shifdraws.com/shop. And just for our coven of listeners, use code WITCH at checkout for 15% off your order. Be sure to follow along on Instagram and TikTok at shifdraws for more spellbinding sketches. All right, so we have a question from listener Ariel. Ariel writes, "Greetings, witchy friends. I have a bit of a mystery on my hands and would love to hear your thoughts as I'm genuinely upset about the situation. I feel like this would be the group to share this with because doing so anywhere else would just likely result in me sounding a bit odd. I'm sorry that this may run a bit long, but I want to be sure to explain the situation clearly. I have a shelf where I put all of my crystals and stones. Each one has a designated place. One of the stones that I had was a small, flat-topped moonstone upon which I had placed a nail from my husband's dog. This was significant because moonstone is my birthstone and my husband's dog was stolen in May by my husband's abusive mother. We have been unable to get the dog back due to bureaucratic reasons. It's a long story, and it has caused us a lot of grief. My husband originally gave me this nail, a clipping from this dog, because the dog has serious health issues, and he wanted me to do a healing spell and thought the nail might help. This was long before the dog was taken. I kept the nail on the moonstone in its specific place, and I would often say some words over it in hopes that my loving energy was reaching the dog wherever he may be. This morning, I realized that the moonstone and the nail are missing. We do not have any indoor pets or children, and my husband is always very careful to leave my altars and sacred spaces alone, as he knows the significance of the way I order my belongings and practice the craft. I am certain I did not move it, and my husband didn't either. Every other stone and item on my altars have not been moved, and I have not found anything else to be missing. Does anyone have any thoughts on what this could mean? My first thought is that it just feels like a bad omen of sorts, but I don't want to jump to conclusions. All I'm certain of is that neither my husband nor I moved any of these items, and we haven't had any visitors that could have moved or taken anything. My whole situation has me feeling confused and concerned. I'm also simply sad, as this nail was the last trace of our beloved dog that we had in our home. And while that may sound odd, it meant quite a bit to me, as we are likely to never see him again. Any thoughts, ideas, or tales of similar experiences would be greatly welcomed. Oh my gosh. So my first mundane thought is like, do you have any mice or rats? Because, well, like, but other than that, with no children or, like, cats or visitors, my only other mundane thought is if they're, my friend works for this family, and they had some, basically, I don't even know how to explain it, but Sometimes like a really big truck will drive by their house and it kind of shakes things and stuff will fall. When we have a big storm, things kind of shake and fall. So I guess just to rule out any mundane stuff, I would definitely search around where it was. Make sure it didn't fall behind a shelf. Oh, excuse me. I try not to yawn, but it is what it is. Shelf, floor, things like that. Just to, again, rule out those more mundane, likely situations. From a magical standpoint, my first thought was maybe the Fae. Like, maybe the Fae had taken it. Which I would view as a positive omen, right? It's, like, in my mind, it's the idea of the Fae took it to maybe go to the dog or help the dog, help the dog out if he's in, you know, like you said, it's not a great situation and the health issues. But I am really curious on what other people may think. Let me see. Michelle wrote, I have a very similar problem with Moonstone. It goes missing all the time. It's the only stone I have that constantly disappears. Eventually, it does turn up in strange places, and hopefully it comes back to you. Michelle wrote back. That's so interesting. Thank you for sharing that with me. I haven't had any issues with crystals disappearing before, but thought someone in the group might have. Oh, Sage asks a great question. Does your mother-in-law have a key to your home? My first thought was that she came in while you were both out and took it. I had a neighbor who would use our spare key to come inside my house and drink our liquor. Oh my gosh. Okay, Sage, I just need to know that story. My husband thought it was me. The other thought is that it found its way to your dog because he needs it. I would repeat your practice using more moonstone, placing them in a circle with your dog's picture inside of it. I hope all works out. So, Ariel, who is Ariel the original poster? Yes. So Ariel responded and said, my thoughts turned for a moment to her as well, but she does not have a key, though she does know where we live. When we moved, we told her we were not comfortable with her knowing our address, and somehow she managed to get her hands on our mail and figured out our new address. She is very hateful and a dangerous person. I know she wishes ill on us, but she doesn't have a key, and I imagine she did make it into our apartment. She would do as much damage as possible. Thank you for sharing your thoughts. You know what you could do? Cameras now are so easy and cheap to get. Like, you can get them now for like $20. Part of me is wondering if you set up a camera in your home, like pointed towards that area, and just kind of like wait a few days and see if there's any interesting activity. You know, that could really help you rule some things out or figure things out. Sage responded to that comment and said, please protect yourself, place up barriers using corresponding herbs, crystals, be safe. I'm aware of what people are capable of. Oof, you guys are giving me the heebie-jeebies. But yeah, oof, you guys. Well, Ariel, please keep us updated. If you find it, let us know. I'm just curious. If you try any of the advice, let us know. All right, so we're doing another prompt today. This is from my new book, Evolution of a Witch, 150 Journal Prompts for Witches. But of course, you can use them for journaling, meditation, discussion, classes, books, etc. So our prompt for today is explore the psychic clairs, clairvoyance, clairgustance, claircognizance, clairsentience, clairalience, and clairaudience. Which one are you? How many do you possess? So for those who don't know, clairvoyance is clear seeing. So I have seeing images. Clairgustance, I think that's taste. Is that taste? Clairgustance? I always think of like Augustus Gloop from Willy Wonka. I always get the taste and the, my internet. What do I have to do to make my internet just consistently work just today? That's all I ask, just for today. While I'm trying to do this. Okay, so clairaugustance is the ability to taste. Yes, so clear tasting. So an example of that would be if you like walk into a building that used to be a bakery, maybe you taste bread, you know? But yes, think of like Augustus Gloop from Harry. I keep wanting to say Augustus Gloop from Harry Potter. I mean Willy Wonka. Then there's claircognizance. Claircognizance is clear knowing. So that's going to be just when you just know information. Then there's clairsentience, clairalience, and then clairaudience. So audience is going to be hearing. Clairsentience is clear, I'm pretty sure, touching. I should know this off the top of my head, but, you know. Yeah, no. You can only keep so much in your mind at one time. Like, I feel like we should have just this perfectly available. Oh, it's clairsensing. So it's just to sense something. And then there's clairalience and clairaudience. Which one's clairalience? I used to know all of these by heart because I used to do classes on them. But at some point, your mind is just like, oh, we need just the ability. Oh, smelling is... aliens. Sometimes we just need to throw out information. We don't use it all the time for new information. All right. So yeah. Now here's the thing. Some people think you're just one, right? Like, well, I am clairvoyant and nothing else. That's not true. Sometimes we are prominently one, but we have varying degrees of other ones. You can gain them out of nowhere. You can lose them out of nowhere. So it's really fun to kind of maybe give yourself percentages. I would say when I do spirit work, I want to say I'm like 70% clairvoyance. I definitely am clairaudient. I hear information all the time. And maybe a little claircognizant because I do have a pretty stellar a pretty stellar intuition. But if I had to narrow it, I would say clairvoyance and clairaudience. But I would love to know you guys and what you have. I'll post this in the Facebook group. Yeah, so that could be a fun project today. Write down the different clairs. You can Google them. And then maybe give yourself percentages. And then what could be interesting is save it and then like return in like 5 years and see if it's changed, you know? All right, witches. How are we on time? We're all right. So we're going to share a little magic today. This is Medieval Magic by Callie Luther. And this does come to us from the January 2022 issue of Which Way magazine. When most people think of medieval times, they think of kings, queens, castles, and jesters. While the lives of the royals are romanticized and idolized in our modern society, many people never heard of the magical practices involved in their daily lives. Even people such as priests, monks, physicians, and midwives used different forms of magic daily, as the concept of magic had yet to be demonized. Not only had magic not yet been demonized, but the Hammer of the Witches, written during the famous witch hunts, had not yet put the female stereotype on witchcraft. So many practitioners were male. The people of the royal court during the Middle Ages depended heavily on astrologers, diviners, and magical advisors, so much so that many were permanently employed by the courts. And side note, this is true. So a lot of wars were decided on diviners. Astrology was very popular. Seers and oracles were widely used, especially by the royals. So let's continue. Astrologers crafted calendars that displayed the ideal times for making political decisions or hosting different types of events based on moon phases and constellations. Diviners aided in many important administrative matters of the time period. Magic advisors were also employed to help their employer, royalty, politicians, etc., make daily decisions and aid in their personal matters. Another piece of information that fell out of my head, I used to know the difference between a seer and an oracle, but off the top of my head, I do not remember. But it definitely played into this time period. Each practitioner had their own place and role in society, even those not in the employ of a wealthy family. Love potions and other brews and concoctions were in high demand in the first half of this time period. These were mostly sold by street vendors and to many of the common people, as well as royalty. The common people in some areas also relied on psychics and palm readers, as some of us do today, just as the royalty relied on their magical advisors. Magic was equated to science. Physicians, surgeons, midwives used herbal concoctions, protective amulets, and natural remedies to aid their patients. Though in the sense of medieval practice, the terms magic or witchcraft were not used. Medieval doctors believed storytelling had medicinal benefits. It was thought by telling certain stories following procedures that the patient would heal quicker and easier. Despite the fact that in the early years of the medieval period, magic was considered special and scientific. Things changed as other religions came to the front, Christianity being the religion that took over. Magical practitioners became pariahs. It was at this point in history that things changed for those who practiced, believed in, and lived witchcraft and magic. From this point in history on, many pagans had to hide who they were or risk their own lives doing what they believed in. So for those who don't know, this article is pretty much really correct based off of the research I've done for my classes and books and all that. But basically what happened is, Christians took over and men and women were of equal standing until, this one guy wrote one document that just said women were more susceptible to the devil. And that kind of really shifted things. And then, of course, the Hammer of the Witches came out and things really shifted. But here's different ways people handled it, right? So the Romans would go through these towns and would get people to convert with different methods, convert or die, convert or pay more taxes, whatever. But there were people who lived kind of on the outskirts of town that were just difficult to get to. And I mean, we all have like that part of town that's just like really far away. And do we really want to go out there? And that was kind of the idea. And so pagans became known as people who lived on like the outskirts of town, or heathens, people who lived on the heaths, like far away, too far to reach. So the people that the Romans or the Christians could not get to were the people who didn't convert because they were never approached to convert. So some of these traditions really did live on. A lot of other people, it's called family tradition, where basically families just shifted and, converted to whatever religion they were kind of made to convert to, but still held on to their folk practices. That's why you have a lot of people who are like really strict Christians, but they still do these folk practices because it's like a remnant from what was passed on from the family. It's a very interesting article. I do teach this, by the way, in my history of witchcraft class, if anyone's interested. I've taught it quite a few times. So, really interesting article. So, thank you, Callie. All right, witches. We are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I do want to give a shout out to listener Brianna Nibs. Brianna, did you splendid, glittery seer. I also want to give a shout out to listener Casey O. Casey, you graceful, rule-breaking witch. And then finally, Caradwyn Hirschberger. Caradwyn, you innocent, glowing muskox. Thank you three so much for being Patreon supporters. I am very grateful. Let's see. And yeah, that's all we've got today. So don't forget, any books, sex, headline sources, or anything else we've referenced today can be found in the podcast episode description. I hope you have a great day, and we will talk again tomorrow.
Witches, we hope that you have an amazing day filled with magic and inspiration. If you'd like to support the podcast, head on over to our Patreon. Need a support system? Find the Witch Daily Show on Facebook and our website, witchdailyshow.com.